I believe today that this word, if I do my job today to what God has instructed me, this word is going to hit all of us today. Nobody's going to escape this word today. I'm just warning you ahead of time. So I hope you wore your big boy underoos today. Hope you wore your big boy pants today, because we're going to get into it today. Are you ready? Our life is full of conflict. True or false? True. If you have relationships with people, you're going to have conflict. Have you ever thought my life would be so much easier if it wasn't for the people involved in my life? You're not alone. You can take two families that get along well, put them in the same house on vacation, and there's going to be conflict, right? You can take people who are good friends, and you work long enough with them, you're going to have conflict. Why? Because anywhere there's relationships, conflict will arise. And can I tell you, when you want to know when the hardest time to deal with conflict is, especially the right way? It's when you're right. When you're right and they're wrong, it's hard to deal with conflict. It challenges us to deal with conflict. Can I tell you, the way the world handles conflict is not the way God handles conflict. The world wants to prove who's right. God wants to bring healing and restoration, and really doesn't matter who's wrong or right. He wants unity. He wants healing, and he wants restoration. Today, I'm going to give you a bonus message in our Galatians series that we just finished up last week. And I want to get to something I didn't have time to cover, and I want to come back and hit it because I believe it's from the Holy Spirit today. And I want to talk to you about the most overlooked fruit. The most overlooked fruit in our life. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 5. I love this passage of scripture that we read a few weeks ago. Let's go back to it again. Let's start in verse 16 and read through verses 23 together. Are you ready? But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are at war against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. These are opposed to each other to keep you and me from doing the things you want to do. But if you're Spirit-led people, as some of you confess to be, if you are Spirit-led, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, as we called the fruit of the flesh a few weeks ago, remember what they are. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies. Okay, that's a good one right there. Things like these, because I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. I want to hit what I believe to be two of the most overlooked and talked about fruits of the Spirit in any believer's life is gentleness and kindness. Gentleness and kindness. Paul is teaching us about the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the power to help us every day, relationships that we face conflict in, and is showing us, if we will tap into this power, there's a different way to handle conflict. We can learn to handle it the way Jesus handled conflict and the way he wants you and I to handle conflict. By using gentleness and kindness to people, we bring healing. Have you ever watched this show, Antique Roadshow? I like watching these reels of all these people who find out what their items they had stored up in the attic, or they picked up at an estate sale somewhere, or they found somewhere, and they take them to have them appraised in South Dakota by some Brit, who, well, at least someone who pretending to be Brit, you know, and they're there with this British accent and kind of looking at you like kind of snobbish, like, yeah, you know. This is this item is so rare. Let me tell you right now. I'm just going on how rare this thing is. What a complete jewel of a find. You know, they go right there. This guy was a Vietnam veteran. And in 1974, when he was in Thailand, he bought this Rolex watch for $350. And he bought this Rolex watch thinking, you know what? I like to go scuba diving. And I've heard these Rolexes do really good underwater, and so I'm going to buy it. And then he bought the watch, and then he realized, you know what? Paul Newman wears these kind of watches. It's pretty fancy. I think I'll wait and not go scuba diving and take a chance on messing up my nice watch. So instead, when he returned home, he put it in a safety deposit box and kind of forgot all about it for decades. And then he heard about the Antique Roadshow coming, and he went and got it out of the safety deposit box and brought it to be evaluated and appraised. And he fainted when he learned that the $350 watch that he bought in Vietnam was worth $700,000. How many think you might kind of pass out too, right? Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, right there. He just passes out. He's in shock. He had it this whole time, this great value locked away in a box. See, the question for him is really the same question that comes for you and I today. There was no question at all that he had this treasure. It had been there all along. The question was he ever going to get it out of the box? Right. For you and I, the same thing that Paul is teaching you and I, that the treasure of the Holy Spirit is in us if we will learn to take it out of the box. The question is not, is it there? If you are a believer in Jesus and follow him, the Bible says we have the power of the Holy Spirit residing within us. But just because the power is there, it's not automatically going to be used unless you take it out and use it. Tap into it. The question is, will we use this power? There is not a question whether or not it's there. Our flesh will naturally want to run away from doing the things the way God wants us to handle things. They're at war. The fruit of the Spirit is at war with the fruit of the flesh. Those two are constantly at war with each other. Our flesh will naturally want to run away. That's where we have to take our flesh and submit it to the power of the Holy Spirit and say, no, flesh, I'm going to do things the way the Holy Spirit wants me to do things. But there's an inner struggle going on. I want to be very clear in our understanding today. When we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, we're talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We have used the word the Holy Trinity, three in one. God, three in one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit we're talking about that's alive in every believer's life if we'll take it out of the box and use it. It's the third part of the Godhead. Pastor, how's that work? The best way I can explain it to you is kind of like a Tide Pod. One Tide Pod, you got the detergent on one side, you got the softener on the other side, and you got a stain defense on the other. Three in one. It's one Tide Pod, but there are three ingredients that make it up. It's kind of the best way to be described. We're talking about God, the Holy Spirit. Not my spirit, the Holy Spirit. This is alive in us to use. This is what we are to take out and learn to use when we show kindness. See, he wants us to show his kindness. He wants us to show his gentleness. So today, I'm going to stretch you. Today, I'm going to push you a little further than you want to be pushed, because you can take it. You know, every great coach looks at his players and is like, there's more in you. I see more in you. I'm going to push you harder because I know there's greatness inside of you. Today is your pastor. I say, come on, there's greater inside of you. There's a greater spirit inside of you. And I'm going to push you to tap into that today and realize what you are walking around with and how to use it and apply it in our life. Pastor, I've already tried this. I tried being kind, I tried being gentle, and it did not work. That's because you used your kindness and your gentleness. I'm not asking you to use your kindness or your gentleness. We've tried that, and in my Dr. Phil's voice, can I say, how's that working out for you? How's that? I mean, can you hear Dr. Phil? How's that working for you? Partner, it's not going to work when we use our kindness and our gentleness. Remember, it's the Holy Spirit's fruit, not my fruit. It's not my fruit, it's the Holy Spirit's fruit. I don't think in the history of time, since Paul wrote this letter to the Galatian church, have we ever seen it harder to be kind and gentleness needed in society today. In the last 15 years, we've seen the evolution of smartphones. I think they call it smartphones because it gives smart Alex a place to rage bait, right? You know what I'm talking about? Ain't nothing smart going on a lot of times. They give rage bait. See, kindness and gentleness doesn't sell. You know what sells today? Anger, rage, rage baiting, click baiting, anger. This is what sells. Social media understands this. If they can keep the left mad at the right and the right mad at the left, the church mad at the unchurched and the unchurched mad at the church, then the rage will happen and be more profitable for those companies. It's what they do. What are you saying? Social media understands this. If they can get you ticked, they can get you clicked. Come on, one more time. I think you didn't catch that. If they can get you ticked, they can get you clicked. Then they want you clicking. They want you responding. They want you raging. They want you posting. It's all capital in their back. They're smiling. They have a machine that's rage baiting all of us, playing into our fears, playing into our prejudice. Algorithms learn what triggers you, and they just show that in your newsfeed 24/7. And we fall for it. Can I tell you that anger used to be the calling card of those who opposed the Church of Jesus? They hated the church. They hated the Bible. And they had anger toward us. But can I tell you that that anger has left the outside of the church and has now crept this way inside the church? Like never before, anger has now crept this way and made its way into the church building. That now even Christians think their idea is to stand for Jesus is to be bodacious, belligerent, and angry. This is how I stand up for Jesus. I'm belligerent, I'm angry, and I'm mad at everybody who opposes God. It's my God-given right. Can I just tell you, Jesus saved the world with kindness. Jesus saved the world with gentleness. Jesus saved the world with meekness. But he was strong. He wasn't weak. The strongest man that ever lived the earth. He who knew no sin would allow himself to go through the punishment for us. Now, he was the strongest man alive. Oh, pastor, but what about the time Jesus was angry? The Bible says he was angry and he turned over the tables in the temple and took a whip and drove out all the money changers and all those who were trying to sell the animals, and he drove them all out with a whip. The Bible says that he was angry and sinned not. First of all, realize that. He was angry, but he didn't sin. And the reason why he was angry was people in the church were trying to show up at the temple and buy their worship and their sacrifice instead of doing what they were instructed to do by growing their own harvest, by raising their own animals and bringing that as a sacrifice to the temple out of their own sweat and blood and tears and own work and own crops. They were supposed to be bringing that. Instead, they were shortchanging and just showing up trying to buy something right before they walked in the door. And Jesus got mad. But notice what he got mad at. He got mad at the people inside the church. He was never mad at those outside the church. He was mad at the ones inside the church who were trying to shortchange the worship of God. See, proof that we need this fruit more than ever before, road rage shootings have risen 449% in the last decade. Since COVID, airport assaults have risen 3,000 times. In the last decade, we see cyberbullying more than double. All because we are way too angry as a society. Everybody's angry. Everybody's mad at everybody. People are always looking to give their opinion, and they're ticked off at those who don't like their opinion. We have such a big opportunity, church. Hear me today. We have such a big opportunity to go against this rage-baiting society and hate narrative and use the gift of kindness of the Holy Spirit and gentleness of the Holy Spirit to reach people for Jesus. Can I be honest with you? I spent from 2021 to 2024, I spent almost three years where I very seldom watched the news. And I used to watch the news every day. I try to watch it, but I just got to where it was so much rage. Every time I watched the news, I would get mad and mad and mad, and I felt this anger coming up in me. The more I watched the news, the more angry I got. The more I heard how men were allowed to compete in women's sports, I'm like, where? I would get so mad, so angry. Let one of them play against my daughter and see what happens. The more I heard about how we all had to go potty in the same bathroom, I would get mad. I remember the first time I walked into a public restroom, it was labeled men, and there was a woman that came out of the stall. I said, oh, I'm sorry. She goes, oh, you're okay. This is we're all sharing the same bathroom now. I said, no, we ain't. No. You get on out of here. You watch the door while I go, and I'll watch the door while you go, but we ain't gonna potty at the same time. Church, can't we potty like it's 1999? Come on, somebody. I get so mad. Woo. Please don't ever follow one of my daughters into the bathroom. You will not walk out. I'm telling you right now. I see the rage. You see what's happening. I would get so angry, so mad. The more I heard about men having drag shows for children in the public library, I was like, ah! Man, the stupidity. Demonic power at work. I was so mad. Rage would hit me, and I was so mad, I had to stop. I had to stop watching it because I walked around angry, and I responded angry, and I felt myself on the verge. It only took a little bit to put me over the edge, and I was like, oh, no, I got to stop this because it is driving me crazy. See, the word kindness in the original Greek, look what it says here. It's the word kresitos, which is to have a posture of humility. It also defines to not cause irritation if you don't have to. It also means to hold back the punishment someone deserves. Look at Ephesians 2:7. It reminds us of this. So that in the coming ages, he might show, that's Jesus, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. He might show us what? The immeasurable riches of his grace and what? Kindness towards us. If we think about it today, the Bible says we have all sinned, fall short of God's glory. That means every one of us deserve the wrath of God. Every one of us deserve the punishment of God. But because our God is so kind, that even when we mocked him on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're saying. Father, take it easy on them. They don't understand. That he loved us enough to send his son to take our place. His son took our punishment. His son took our place on the cross and allowed our sins to be covered and forgiven, our debt paid for, that all now who would believe in the cross of Jesus and what Jesus did on the cross now could have their sins forgiven. That doesn't make any sense. I know it. That's God's kindness. It doesn't make sense. We don't know how to do that. He does. What right does God have for me to ask me to be kind to somebody who treats me bad? Because he did that to us. See, if you've received the kindness of God we didn't deserve, then I can comprehend and understand that he wants me to give that kindness away to somebody else who doesn't deserve it. Just like God gave it to me when I didn't deserve it. I'm talking about stretching you today. I'm talking about stretching you to the point where you realize I'm not called to be kind in my spirit. I'm called to be kind like the Holy Spirit wants me to be kind. It's a game changer. But I'm telling you, when you learn to open that box, you can be kind when you didn't know you had a kind bone inside your heart. You can be kind to somebody you never thought you could be kind to. You can be gentle with somebody you never thought you could be gentle with. Can I look at this statement today? I just want to make it very clear. Biblical kindness will look like cray-cray. It will look crazy. Biblical kindness looks crazy because it makes no sense to anybody else. Why are you being kind to them? Why are you showing goodness to them? Why are you forgiving them? Why are you doing something nice for them? They don't deserve that. Do you know what they said about you? Do you know what they did to you? Do you know what they did to your family? Yeah. And it's not me. It's like the times we've seen it. A Christian family gets up and says, I forgive the person who murdered my daughter. No one has that kind of power. That's someone who's learned to walk in the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But there's something powerful that happens when we unlock it. Biblical kindness, it will look crazy. I'm going to share with you a story I've never shared. In over 20 years of pastoring this church, I never have shared this story. And the reason why I've never shared this story is because it was a painful story for me to go through. It hurt. And I don't like revisiting this story, if I can be honest with you, because it really hurt me. My senior year of college, I was trying to finish up and graduate, so I was taking like 18 hours to finish up so I could graduate and walk. I had just gotten married to my beautiful bride, so now I'm working full-time. I'm managing a store. I'm doing as a head manager of the store, and I've got a household to take care of, and I'm finishing up 18 hours. Oh, by the way, I was a youth pastor at the time as well. I mean, how many think I need one more thing on my plate, right? I just I need to take on some more things. And I can do it all. I thought I could do it all. And when I took my final, and I was so glad to be done with school, and I was so glad to be able to walk through the graduation ceremony, and 3 hours before I was to walk the stage, I got a phone call from the educational department saying, "You will not be allowed to walk across the stage tonight." Like, why not? They go, "Well, you pass, but after we took away the 6 absences you had in this class, 3 were free, but the 3 that above the 3, each one deducts you 10 points. So we deducted 30 points from your total score, and you failed the class by 10 points. This is before we could really text, you know, before people had phones and everybody was. So I had people traveling to come see me walk. I had family on the way to come see me graduate. We had cakes ordered. We had party supplies, people bringing me gifts. And I was told just a few hours before I was to walk that I would not be allowed to walk. You can imagine the hurt I had. Like, what? Like, you want to, what? You're not going to let me, what? 10 points? Like, there's nothing we could do to manage 10 points? That made things worse. It was Spanish 2. And I'm a quarter Spanish. I'm like, no bueno, señorita. You cannot pass me. I was so mad. I was so hurt. So embarrassed. My family shows up expecting to watch me walk that night. And I had to tell them, I'm not going to get to walk. So after I cried out my eyes and gathered my thoughts, I requested a meeting with the educational board of the college. And they granted my request. And I was going to go in and educate the educational board on ethics. Like, there's a right way and a wrong way we handle things. And this was not handled the right way. All about this stinks, and the way they handle it stinks. I paid you all this money to come to your college, and you're a Christian college. Come on now, you made it worse. Boy, I was mad, and I was hurt. And I was ready. I've been waiting weeks. I was ready to let them have it. And I was in the hallway waiting for them to call my name to go into the boardroom. And right before they called my name, the Holy Spirit said, "Gene, I want you to go in there and shut your mouth." What, God? Because I want you to go in and I want you to apologize. I want you to go in and be humble. I walked into that room and said, "I just called this meeting to tell you how sorry I am." That was 5 minutes ago. That's all I wanted to tell you. That was not why I called this meeting, but I walked in and said, "I want you to know I'm so sorry that I let you down and I didn't follow through with my end, and I put you in this predicament. It was embarrassing to me, but I had no one to blame but myself. I just want you to know I'm sorry." Now, I think there's some ways we can maybe talk about changing these rules up so that maybe if anybody else goes through the same situation, there's enough cushion there that we can deal with this so people aren't showing up to watch them graduate. They made some rule changes after that, and they learned some things. And the teacher came to me later and said, "I'm so sorry. I should have never taken that to the Board of Education. I should have just handled this and had you do something to take care of those 10 points. But once I told them, they were going to make a lesson, you know, and draw the line and show how no one's above the law." You know, after I apologized, they had tears coming down their faces in that boardroom. I said, "Man, we're sorry. It's not just you. We let you down. We made mistakes too. We're going to make some changes so this won't happen again." And they said, "This is what we're going to do. We're going to scholarship you this class. You don't have to pay for it to take it again. You can take a test, and if you've passed the test, you can just test right out of it." Of course, I took the test because I'd made a 92 in the final. And they told me, they said, "Well, if you'd made 100, you'd have passed the class." I know. So I took the final again, of course, passed it with a breeze, and didn't even have to take the class and didn't have to pay for it. I just had to wait another Another graduation ceremony to walk the stage. At first, I ain't gonna walk that stage. But after God humbled me, I walked the stage, and I was the only one that night who got a standing ovation from the faculty and all the people in attendance that night. See, little did I know that would be the first time of many times in my life that God was going to ask me to apologize when I didn't feel like I was wrong. I didn't know that God was going to put me in a situation where I was going to need to use that a lot. Because see, when you deal with conflict and people, sometimes the best healing is just to come in and say, I'm sorry, even when if I'm not the one who's in the wrong. And God's used that in my life to heal so many broken relationships, to heal conflict so much in my life. I knew I wasn't wrong, but that wasn't important. I can tell you, there's nothing more satisfying to look at somebody you're in conflict with, and you know you're right, and say, I'm sorry. Because what happens with them is like, the wall comes down. I can tell you, I've done this hundreds of times in my life. I've only had one time it didn't work. 99.9% of the times, just my act of using the kindness of the Holy Spirit dropped walls and brought unity, healing, repentance, restoration in people's lives. See, gentleness is not weakness. It requires great strength. Don't get it wrong today. Showing kindness to people who don't deserve it, that takes greater strength than anything else. Forgiving somebody who never asked for forgiveness, that takes more power than you have inside of you, except for the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the fruit of the Spirit. The last scripture I'm going to read you, and we're going to close. 1 Corinthians 4:21. Paul says, what do you wish? Shall I come at you with the rod? Or with love in a spirit of what? Gentleness. Remember, Paul was rough and tough, baby. Paul was persecuting Christians. Can I tell you? Don't let this pastor thing fool you. I ain't the one sometimes. I'm just telling you right now. You mess with my kids, or I can be that way. I'm naturally hot-blooded. It's taken me decades for the Holy Spirit to teach me how to shut my mouth and show kindness when I didn't want to. Sometimes I still struggle. But I can tell you, come on, don't say amen. But I can tell you this. The more I let the Holy Spirit work in my life, the more he works through me and works through that situation, I'm getting a lot better than I used to be. I'm not always perfect, but I can get there, and so can you. That's what Paul was saying. Like, you want me to come at you with a rod? I can do it, man. But how about instead I use the Spirit, gentleness? Listen, you're not a big man. You're not a big woman because you can bring the rod. You can bring anger and rage baiting. God doesn't need anybody to rage bait for him. He's God. He's got this, I promise you. The greater strength is displayed when you stay calm. You speak words of healing. When you show kindness to those who didn't deserve it, when you're gentle with those who have not been gentle with you. See, kindness, look what it says here. Kindness is holding back punishment they deserved, like Jesus did for us. Gentleness is giving goodness they don't deserve. I want to be like Jesus. Then you better work on these fruit right here, because this is the way Jesus operated to us. This is the way the Father operated to us. No other time in history can we use these two fruits and really make an impact, church. I want to love as many people. I want to win as many people to Jesus as possible. I want to see heaven populated with as many people from this community as possible. And I want you to help me. And how we do that together is not going to be out there rage baiting people, debating people. No, it's going to be showing God's love, showing God's kindness, showing God's gentleness. And as I do that, God's going to use you to do a work in them. Here's the secret. He's also doing a work in you as you allow the power of the Holy Spirit to be unlocked in our life. Father, we thank you. We thank you for words of correction. We thank you for words that stretch us and challenge us. I'm going to ask you just to stand on your feet where you're at today. You're here today, say, Pastor, man, God's really challenging me today to really tap into these fruits of the Spirit. If that's you, can you just raise your hand where I can see you? Say, that's me. Yeah. God's challenging you to take this next step. Listen, it's a challenge. I ain't going to tell you it's going to be easy. I promise you, it's not going to be easy. You're going to have to battle your flesh because it's going to try to make you rage bait. It's going to try to make you justify your anger. I'm telling you, when you unlock the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, there's something that happens to you and to that person you God uses you to use to help speak life into them. You're ready for the Holy Spirit to activate these things. You're ready to take kindness, God's kindness, the Holy Spirit's kindness, and the Holy Spirit's gentleness. If you're ready to take it out of the box, I want you to just lift your hands. That's me. I'm going to take it out of the box in my life. I'm going to begin to apply it every day in my life. I'm going to ask God to help me walk in this kind of kindness, this kind of goodness in my life, this kind of gentleness. Father, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit begin to deposit this into our spirits right now. God, help us to take out this fruit that you've given to all of us today, that we can show your kindness, we can show your gentleness, even when they don't deserve it, because that's how you first loved us. We don't want to show our kindness. We don't want to show our gentleness, God. We want to show yours, the Holy Spirit's fruit. May it be alive in our life. And we all work together to bring in a community to know Jesus by our love, by our kindness, and by our gentleness. As we hold truth to the word of the Lord, we never compromise your word, but we will always show the fruit of kindness in everything we do, everything we teach, every way we instruct. I pray right now, God, I call out that gift of the Holy Spirit inside of all of us today. In Jesus' mighty name, we say together, amen and amen. Did you receive that word today? Amen. Yeah. Listen, we love you. Thank you so much for being with us today. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll see you soon.